Baba Tunjandi Hari.
Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Prabhu Jagacharya Storage Tata Sri Sri Madhu Divine Grace of Aichana Ravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Sri Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the Lord of Speaker Sri Sri Guru and Guranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So before we start, I just want to mention that due to the restrictions of the present situation, we have Pran Govinda Prabhu, who is here, and this is primarily for the internet listeners, if anyone is there, that if you have any questions or comments, you can text it to his phone, which is, 352-221-0041, I'll repeat that, 352-221-0041. So you may text your messages there, and he can read it off. Thank you very much. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, entitled Narad's Instruction on Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 13. Yeah.
Atto Mahabhaga Bhavanamo Gadrik. Suchi Shrava Satya Rato Drita Vrata. Urukramasya Kila Bandha Muktaye. Samadhidana Sushrama Tadvichesh.
Let's do that again.
Samadhidana Sushrama Tadvichestam. Ato Mahabhaga Bhavan Namo Gadrik. Suchi Shrava Satya Rato Drita Vrata. Urukramasya Kila Bandha Muktaye. Samadhinano Shramatad Vicheshtitam. Ato Mahabhaga Bhavana Muktatri. Suchi Shrava Satya Rato Drita Vrata. Urukramasya Kila Bandha Muktaye. Samadhinano Shramatad Vicheshtitam.
Please chant.
Ato Mahabhaga Bhavanamo Gadrik.
Ato Mahabhaga Bhavanamo Gadrik. Suchi Shrava Satya Rato Drita Vrata. Urukramasya Kila Bandha Muktaye. Samadhinanu Smarata Vicheshita.
Ato Mahabhaga Bhavanamo
Ato maha bhaga bhavana mogadri. Suchi shrava satcha rato dita vrata. Guru kramasya kila bandha muktaye. Samadhina nusmara tad vicheshtitam. Ato mahabhaga bhavana mogadre. Suchi shrava satya rato dita vrata. Uru kramasya kila bandha muktaye. Samadhina nusmara tad vicheshtitam. Ato mahabhaga bhavana mogadre. Suchi shrava satya rato dita vrata. Uru kramasya kila bandha muktaye. Samadhina nusmara tad vicheshtitam.
Ato,
therefore,
Mahabhaga,
highly fortunate,
Bhavan,
yourself,
Amogadri,
the perfect seer,
Suchi,
spotless,
Shravaha,
famous,
Satyarataha,
having taken the vow of truthfulness,
Dhritavrataha,
fixed in spiritual qualities,
Urukramasya,
of the one who performs supernatural activities,
God,
Akila,
universal,
Banda,
bondage,
Muktaye,
for liberation from,
Samadhina,
by trance.
Anusmara,
think repeatedly and then describe them.
Tat vicheshtitam,
various pastimes of the Lord.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Translation.
O Vyasadeva, your vision is completely perfect. Your good fame is spotless. You are formed in vow and situated in truthfulness. And thus you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage.
Purport.
People in general have a taste for literatures by instinct. They want to hear and read from the authorities something about the unknown, but their taste is exploited by unfortunate literatures which are full of subject matter for satisfaction of the material senses. Such literatures contain different kinds of mundane poems and philosophical speculations, more or less under the influence of Maya, ending in sense gratification. So I'll stop here for a moment and then we'll continue. Om Jnana Timrindasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunitamena Tasmai Shri Gurupenam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutulashna Krishna Yardal Prabhuti Namini Shri Shri Vrindata Divira Padapatmaka Jagayami Padupada Nupadaya Namashi Yardal. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutulashna Shri Vrindata Swamini Namini. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Sunyavadi Pastor Padeshadani.
So,
as always, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very applicable to our current situation. It's applicable now. It is very applicable when Srila Prabhupada was physically present. And from the purport, we would learn that it is applicable thousands of years ago. So it's not only now that you find so many literatures out there that doesn't quite satisfy the needs of human society. I know in our classes right now, it's one of the things that we are discussing, looking at projections, looking at field study for spreading Krishna consciousness. And when we're doing environmental scans, these are some of the things that we look at, you know, what's available out there, what the needs are, where people are looking, and what their satisfaction levels are. And we find a great gap is there. There's a great gap that something is missing. So even in the Bhagavatam itself, we ended 12th canto the other day, and what is the last thing that was discussed there? It's the glorification of this great book, this Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how important it is for the benefit of human society. So the Bhagavatam ended in that way. Out of all Bhagavat Puranas, out of all Puranas, the Bhagavat Purana is the greatest. And it also started back in the first canto here, starting with the same thing, the glorification of the Bhagavatam and its importance to human society. So, why is it important? Like, it's described that the Bhagavatam, it talks about and glorifies the Lord. In a nutshell, that's why it's important. But it's also said that it's glorifying, talking about the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. So I was thinking, is it because it describes the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees? Or is it because it describes the pastimes of the Lord with his devotees? Does that make sense with the difference? Or both? Is it the Lord and his devotees, the Lord with his devotees, or both? So, yes, so Krishna Keshava confirmed both. So, because of this loving relationship, this literature brings about a transcendental effect. But more than that, there is an answer that's given as to why this Bhagavatam is so important. Why this Bhagavatam is the basis of the solution for this sort of literature and information. So if we can go back to verse 8, we find the answer there. So, verse 8 of this very chapter, Narad Muni is saying, so as we know, this is a discussion here of Narad Muni with and Vyasadev, Narad Muni being the spiritual master of Srila Vyasadev. Even though Srila Vyasadeva is a literal incarnation of the Lord, he accepts the form of a disciple. And Narad Muni, one of the greatest devotees of the Lord, is in the role of his spiritual master. So Narada is telling him here, Sri Narada said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. So I'll read that sentence again. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. So this is the point that I want to make from this verse, this last sentence, that the important thing is that we bring about some information that satisfies the transcendental senses of the Lord. As you know, Srila Prabhupada, from the very beginning of his preaching and all the way throughout, he keep constantly, repeatedly giving this one basic analysis that anyone can understand. That for you to nourish the tree, so the tree is like the entire material creation, that one has to water the root of the tree. So if one waters the root, the entire tree gets nourished. So similarly, if here Sri Narada is confirming the same thing, that if we give information that satisfies the transcendental senses of the Lord, then that information would be beneficial to everyone. And that would give ultimate satisfaction to everyone. So, not only that it gives satisfaction to the devotees, but it gives satisfaction to the Lord also. And of course, when it gives satisfaction to the Lord, then that satisfaction expands like a pyramid. It trickles down and expands, and that gives satisfaction to the devotees. So because a devotee does not enjoy separately from the Lord, as we know, this has been taught in pretty much every page of our scriptures and all authorized scriptures, that one only becomes satisfied when the Lord is satisfied. So when the Lord's senses are satisfied, then the devotee senses are satisfied also, because we are all connected. It's just like you have a machine. All the parts are stuck to the machine, and the parts function only when the machine functions. Like, for example, if you have a tractor and you have a bolt or a screw that you just take out and you drop to the side, leave it in the toolbox, that screw is useless. It doesn't function. When you put it onto the machine, then its function becomes activated. It works with the machine. So if you're thinking, well, okay, we're going to have this machine work by leaving out so many screws and leaving out so many aspects of information, then it's not going to quite work that way. So things going to be missing. So therefore, the proper information needs to be given out there. I know right now in our student WhatsApp Sangha, some of the students are full-time Sankirtan devotees. And they're discussing how can we cope with the crisis. Because whenever they go out there, people are shouting coronavirus and run away. So some of the thoughts that came up, and they put it into practice, it's actually working. One is that they are putting little book stands in different places where it's allowed, and just put the books there, and they're asking donors and well-wishers to donate towards these books. And they would put them there, And because especially now people are searching for some alternative, they're looking for information, they find that more people are going to take these books. And sometimes when they're standing nearby, when they come, then they give a little explanation, and some people give donations also. Most times they do. And also one other aspect is that they are using the social media, Instagram, Facebook, and so forth, and they are having live talks on yoga and spirituality and Krishna consciousness. And in their live presentation, somehow they advertise it, and people are linked, people are joining live from different parts of the world. And when they explain about these transcendental literatures, people are starting to buy, and they're shipping it to them. So that's another way of giving this transcendental message out. So when that happens, then everyone is becoming somewhat satisfied and pacified, especially in this crisis. And it's also a great help for the devotees. I just want to share this as my own personal observation, and I'm trying to use this to the best advantage, that right now everyone, due to the crisis, the world over, is carrying on their daily lives, but with a lot of restriction and a lot of conscious activities in their background. They're always conscious of the do's and the don'ts of what they have to do right now. They're always very, very conscious of their activities. Social distancing, and the list goes on and on. Precautionary measures. So, with whatever they're doing, this is always in the background of their minds. So I was thinking, that is the way that a devotee should carry their life also. That whatever we're doing, we're distancing our activities, at the back of our minds, we're distancing our activities from that of the normal people. And if we carry on this in the back of our minds, that, okay, we're following regulated principles, we're following certain principles, there's certain things we do, what we don't. And devotee always carries that with him. So here's an opportunity to see our surroundings and take that and apply it to our lives and see how beneficial it's going to be. At least for me, for the past little while, I've been noticing that, and then I'm thinking, why not use that to my advantage to apply that to Krishna consciousness? So even though the same things are there in our scriptures, and Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas have given so much instruction, this forms as a reminder of how to carry yourself and what to talk about, what to do. Like now everywhere you go, people are talking about this virus. That is the whole worship. So a devotee used that same thing, turns it into Krishna consciousness, and that becomes their topic wherever they go. And according to this verse here today and this purport, it is the most beneficial thing to do. And another topic before I continue the purport, one thing I want to talk about is that if you follow these string of verses, we can see a trend of Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadeva. You can see a certain pattern of Narada's presentation. So, for one, it started by Narada asking, are you satisfied that you have given all these mundane subject matters that doesn't do any good? So in a sense, he's mildly chastising him. And in this, then he comes about to say, that you're dissatisfied because you have failed to address the real point. You have failed to give the actual glorification of the Lord. So in this verse today, Narada is telling Vyasadeva that, oh Vyasadeva, your vision is completely perfect. So he's saying, you know, you're a perfect person. Your vision is perfect. Your good fame is spotless. Your form and vow are situated in truthfulness. And thus you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage. So he's telling Vyasadeva that indirectly he's saying, you know, what's wrong with you? That you're a perfect person, you have all the facilities, you have all the knowledge, all the background, you know what's best, you're intelligent enough, you have everything at your fingertips. Now, just do it. Just bring it up. I remember when I was a brahmachari, I was the personal servant of my Guru Maharaj. And one day he told me, he said, you know, Dharmaraj, that you have much more ability than you're portraying. That you have it, you just have to bring it up. You know, he said, I know you can do it. And that's why I've been pushing you so much. I know you can do it. Just go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and bring out your abilities that you can do more in devotional service. So, it's a similar thing that Narada is saying here to Vyasadeva, that you can do this, you know, that you have the ability to do something better for humanity than you're doing. So, just go ahead and do it. Just take advantage. Don't, you know, whatever you have done in the past is not the real beneficial item for society. No, it doesn't give the satisfaction, doesn't guarantee any good to human society. That use this. So let us continue. Okay. Yeah. These literatures, although worthless in the true sense of the term, are variously decorated to attract the attention of the less intelligent men. So here's a very important point too, at recollecting when I was reading Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita. Many times, many places, Srila Prabhupada talks about the presentation of his books and his information. Even the very beginning when Srila Prabhupada started, before he came to the West, one reason why he was kicked out from his godbrother's ashram and their association was because he was shooting for a very high standard. So when they wanted to print the magazines on just the newspaper material, Srila Prabhupada is saying, no, go the extra mile, spend the extra lakshmi, print it on proper paper, thicker, that people would tend to preserve it more. And when he started the Bhakti Gaudiya magazine, he did the same thing. He printed with that quality that is still continuing today. That when you have that quality of material and the other presentation of his books, then people tend to keep it longer, they preserve it. And with that presentation and preservation, that they would hold on to something that is more beneficial, and as such they would eventually read it and get the benefit. Once when Rameshwar Swami at the time, he was one of the leading book distributors and also helping with the printing, when they were going to print the books, they were looking at the expenses. So Rameshwar Maharaj at the time told Srila Prabhupada and said, you know, maybe you can make some adjustments here and make some adjustments there. And then Srila Prabhupada said, yes, maybe, you know, we can do a little. And then he came, he said, well, you know, we can reduce it from the hard cover to the soft cover, so that way we save a lot of Lakshmi. And at that point, Srila Prabhupada slammed his hand on his desk. And he said, I have thought 1,000 times before I have presented what I'm doing, that we have to keep the standard. He said some other things, but I'm not going to say that here. So, but just for the purpose of this topic, he said no, that maintain the standard. If you maintain this high standard, then these books will be preserved more in the laps of the mass of people. So, this is what the materialists are doing, all these nonsense literatures, as we understand them, that they're presenting it in a very, you know, flabbergastic way, a very fancy way. They're presenting it in such a way that people accept them, even though it has nothing much to offer. So, the advertising department is a very, very important role in anything that you do, any business, any propagation, any spiritual culture. Every religious movement of the world, this is one of their focus. If they want to succeed, then they have to focus very strongly on this. How they present their information. How they present, in our case, how we present our literature. So, the same thing Srila Prabhupada is talking about here. And they present all this information in a very flowery way. Like Srila Prabhupada talks of the Vedas and especially the Mayavadis, they have flowery language. That the language they present in such a sweet way that you're captivated by it. And what you get, something that is not very beneficial. So even though we have the beneficial thing, if we don't propagate it nicely, if we don't present it in an acceptable way, or what we can say, a flowery, flowery way, then it would not be accepted, or it would be less accepted by the mass of people. So this is very important as we present ourselves in Krishna consciousness and we present ourselves of Krishna consciousness, in other words, be ambassadors, and as we present our books, our literatures and so forth, then we have to be conscious of that. I know when we were out on Rathiyatras, I would try to make sure that all our books, you know, that they're not jumbled up in the bags and then the pages are like thwarted and twisted, or the books aren't bent. So it's all smooth and neat, because outwardly that's what people are looking for. They would look at the outward presentation. So we have to use that tactic of the outward presentation to give them the inward presentation. So I'll continue here. Thus, the attracted living entities are more and more entangled in material bondage without hope of liberation for thousands and thousands of generations. Sri Narad Rishi, being the best amongst the Vaishnavas, is compassionate towards such unfortunate victims of worthless literatures. And thus he advises Sri Vyasadeva to compose transcendental literature which is not only attractive, but can also actually bring liberation from all kinds of bondage. So we were just talking about that. Srila Vyasadeva or his representatives are qualified because they are rightly trained to see things in true perspective. Srila Vyasadeva and his representatives are pure in thought due to their spiritual enlightenment, fixed in their vows due to their devotional service, and determined to deliver the fallen souls rotting in material activities. So, this is an instruction directly to us, or at least I took it personally that way, that with all he's making a presentation, but I see it as a direct instruction that we should learn to act as representatives of Srila Vyasadeva and his representatives like Srila Prabhupada. To, if we carry, learn to carry ourselves in this way of learning to be, Srila Prabhupada said, this movement should have gentlemen and ladies. Very gentle, very presentable. So, it's a call, this purport is a call on us to try to adopt this lifestyle, try to live to this standard, try to come to this standard so that we can make a difference in our own lives and in the lives of others. As we know, we have, there are three categories of devotees. From the bottom, we have those who don't follow strictly or nicely, and they don't preach nicely. Or we can say they don't preach, nor they don't follow. Then the second category is one who preach, but they don't follow what they preach. Then you have another category of one who follow, but they don't preach. And the last category, the best category, is one who follows and preach both. So the call is here, this appeal is here in this purport, for us to come up to that standard of practicing and preaching both. And so for us to do that, it means that we have to learn the art of surrendering. And I'm not just speaking about outsiders, but even among ourselves, that when we're thinking that we are surrendering, we have to just analyze in what way Maya is pulling the rug out from under us and thinking, hello, you're a great devotee, you know that, and then she's pulling us down on the other side. So I took this personally in this part of this purport, that is a call that we should learn to represent Srila Vyasadeva and his representatives. And as such, we would be able to present the message of Bhagavatam in a pure way. So I would want to continue here. The fallen souls are very eager to receive novel information every day. And the transcendentalists like Vyasadeva and Narada can supply such eager people in general with unlimited news from the spiritual world. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the material world is only a part of the whole creation, and that this earth is only a fragment of the whole material world. So, this gives an idea as to how minute this earth planet is, and how small the whole material creation is described here according to other places, that the whole material world is only like 1/4 of the total creation. And out of that, this earth planet is only a very small fraction of this material world, this material creation. So it's very small compared to the entire body. So these personalities, they have the ability to give us information of the entire spiritual world. So they have that ability, and we have to take advantage of that. So it's nothing small. Even in this material world, there's, as what these purports are describing, thousands and thousands of literatures, there are thousands of authors that are writing thousands and thousands of books. And only about this one little material world here, that's all they're conscious of, that's all the knowledge and information, that's all the conception that they have. Imagine beyond just this one little planet in this 1/4 of the creation, this one little tiny planet, which is very insignificant. Just imagine how much information that they are extracting from this. Imagine how much information can be extracted from the spiritual world. Just a thought on that. So, we'll continue. There are thousands and thousands of literary men all over the world. And they have created many, many thousands of literary works for the information of the people in general for thousands and thousands of years. So I mentioned this earlier. So not only now that people are bringing about all different literatures other than that describing the devotional service of the Lord, but for thousands of years, according to this purport, this has been going on. Unfortunately, none of them have brought peace and tranquility on the earth. It is due to a spiritual vacuum in these literatures. Therefore, the Vedic literatures, especially the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, are specifically recommended to suffering humanity to bring about the desired effect of liberation from the pangs of material civilization, which is eating the vital part of human energy. Well, we can relate to that. What is eating our vital part right now throughout the world? So, that's eating, this virus is eating a vital part of our life air, our breathing. So, without proper knowledge on a wider scale, this mundane knowledge is also eating out our vital part of the human energy. So this purport is very, very applicable. The Bhagavad Gita is the spoken message of the Lord Himself recorded by Vyasadeva. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental narration of the activities of the same Lord Krishna, which alone can satisfy the hankering desires of the living being for eternal peace and liberation from miseries. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is meant for the living beings all over the universe, for total liberation from all kinds of material bondage. Such transcendental narrations of the pastimes of the Lord can be described only by liberated souls like Vyasadeva and his bona fide representatives, who are completely merged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So we just talked about that also. So unless one is bona fide and qualified, then even though we would be giving this message, but the effect would not be there. Such transcendental narrations of the pastimes of the Lord can be described only by liberated souls like Vyasadeva and his bona fide representatives. Okay, we just read that. Only to such devotees do the pastimes of the Lord and their transcendental nature become automatically manifest by dint of devotional service. No one else can either know or describe the acts of the Lord, even if they speculate on the subject for many, many years. The descriptions of the Bhagavatam are so precise and accurate that whatever has been predicted in this great literature about 5,000 years ago is now exactly happening. Such strong statements here by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, the vision of the author comprehends past, present, and future. Such liberated persons as Vyasadeva are perfect not only by the power of vision and wisdom, but also in oral reception, in thinking, feeling, and all other sense activities. A liberated person possesses perfect senses, and with perfect senses only can one serve the perfect proprietor, Rishikesh, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is the perfect description of the all-perfect personality of Godhead by the all-perfect personality, Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedas. So, this is perfectly composed, perfectly said, and if you read it over and over, then it can be perfectly understood. So, with that, there are a lot more to be said, but time is running short, so I'd like to stop there. If anyone has any questions, Mother Madhumati. Also, if anyone on the internet, you can text your questions or comments in the Pran Govinda Prabhu, 352-221-0041. Yes, Mother Madhumati.
So, Vyasadeva, he had written other books, certainly to in the mind to bring people's consciousness on a higher level. But he didn't focus on Krishna. In our preaching attempts, some devotees, they write literatures, that's called bridge preaching, where they're not glorifying Krishna directly, feeling that, you know, people would not accept that. So, but they do bridge preaching to help them to come on a higher level. So I was wondering if you had some comments on that.
Yeah, I actually thought about that whilst reading this purport. That is also a tactic to be used to present Krishna consciousness. Of course, there might be many other literatures that I don't know about that are written by devotees in terms of rich preaching. But the difference in what Srila Vyasadeva has presented earlier are more so on the level of karmakanda. What our devotees are doing in bridge preaching is not karmakanda, at least that's my understanding, is not karmakanda, but it's a stepping stone through pure devotional service, but giving little baby steps to come up to that level. If they were preaching that, okay, writing literatures, well, you know, start worshipping the demigods or doing these karmakanda activities, and then afterwards, when they start doing that, then they start giving them different information about direct worship of the personality, then that would have been something else. So my understanding is, it's yes, due to time, place, and circumstance, we might have to, what we say, add little icing on the cake, or like give them different things, just like, for one, present it in a nice way, and depends on the situation where you are, you may have to go in a certain fashion or bridge preaching as you nicely described. But it's not out of line of Krishna consciousness. That's like my understanding. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's totally different from having karmakanda here and having, you know, devotional service here. It's a totally different thing. It's just that we're using whatever facilities are available and what the situation is to push people into the right direction. So from the beginning, what they're doing in those books is that they're giving those people a ticket to New York, and then they're giving them the steps to get there. It's not that they're giving them a ticket to Los Angeles, but then they're giving them directions to go to New York. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, okay.
I was going to say, in Bhakti Center in New York, they do actually, some of them introduce like a modern age idea of develop forgiveness, you know, be compassionate, that's it. The whole discussion is about compassion. And people get attracted. So what Prabhu says is nice. But I thought about it the other day also. I think that in India, when somebody hears the Mahabharata or Ramayana, even Manasa Purana, I remember in my childhood, the villager would read. Even my mother used to take us there. But there was no pure devotee to bring them next level. They would stay there, and that's it. But here we see that they're talking about compassion. Okay, great. But then you say, but to retain that compassionate mood, you need some substantial asset. So you have to sit down and chant. So they inject bhakti. I think that's big missing, I noticed. Still today in India, villages, they do Manasa Puran, so many, you know, Mahabharata and others. But organizer or facilitator or instructor is not a devotee. So they never bring them higher. I think that's what I see practically was missing, big missing. One Maharaj actually commented that if you take three things out of Mahabharata, what it will be? He said it will be Bollywood. If you take Narayana Stotra, if you take Vishnu Sahasranam out, and if you take Bhagavad Gita out, these three things, if you take it out, what is left in Mahabharata? Bollywood type of, you know. And it was so true, I thought about it, like, wow.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, that's very nice. It's actually, so if we have to, you know, we look like sometimes my wife would play on YouTube, is it, for the talks of Gaurgopal Prabhu, which he's like, now he's like well known for his inspirational talks, you know, and he go in different places. And he would raise the topic of some kind of a common, you know, social topic. And he'll bring you to a point of how, and bring you into Krishna consciousness. And he would come very strong towards the end of every one of his presentation. He would directly inject the service of Krishna consciousness and Srila Prabhupada there. No questions about it. Directly he would bring it out, and whoever is in the crowd, be it who, you know, he would bring that. So that's another form of rich preaching that gives you from where you are, but then we just go straight to the, you know, the direct topic of where we want the conclusion to be. Just like sometimes some children might be in different ways, some like in schools they have kids that have special needs. So with those kids, they don't teach them 1 + 1 = 3. You know, the same thing, but they just have to give them in a such a different way, or more of a baby step way, because their learning ability is handicapped. So similarly in Krishna consciousness, many of our devotees are doing that because of the situation, like Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was saying one time that with his Ranganiketan group, they would go to Muslim countries and so forth, and they would tell them that we're going to do this performance, we're going to do our cultural performances, and they would go up there and do some martial arts, then they would start with some prayers and with the mirdanga, and they would ask everybody to repeat with them, and then they start with the Hare Krishna mantra. And they would go on for hours with Hare Krishna mantra. And everyone, all the Muslims, everyone would be chanting from a word to two words to the entire mantra like that. So, in a sense, we can also say it's like bridge preaching. So, they didn't come out directly, like how the Bhagavatam started. I told Ramanya Jigyasu, you're not this body. You know, they didn't start with that. Now, if we start just like that, we go preaching on the road and go straight and say, hey, you're not this body. You have to read this. No, you're going to kind of scare people away. At least I would. Okay, anything else? So, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.